Hi, I'm Al Jean, and this is episode 303, Simpson Califragilistic Expialidocious.
This is Mike Reese. I was co-writer with Al Jean on this episode and also a showrunner on it.
David Silverman, supervising director.
Chuck Sheets, director.
So,
I was going to say, this was aired on February 7th, 1997, but it was done earlier, right?
Yes, this actually in the Springfield Files were ideas that we pitched at a writer's retreat several years earlier, and no one ran with them, and we had left the show and gone to Disney, but we struck a deal with Disney where we could do four Simpson episodes at the same time we were working for Disney, and so we said, hey, we'll do them.
The other holdup, this is something I've been waiting years to say. Simpson Califragilistic, this episode, it was Al's idea, and I fought him on it for at least 2 years. I just said, I don't want to do it, let's not do it. He was going to write it by himself. I said, it's wrong. I finally kind of relented to do it. It went on. It was easily, I would say, the most liked thing we've ever done together, most respected, best regarded. So I'm apologizing here in front of all of you guys and the 20 or 30 people at home who are listening. I was just dead wrong on that, so I'm sorry, Al. And you can thank Al that you ever get to see this episode.
Well, that's very kind of you. What is amazing, too, is after we had written this, I found out there was a movie called Mary Poppins, which is very similar. I was really shocked.
When we worked on it, we found that, too, and we thought we could borrow from that.
Yes, right? Exactly.
Now, key thing I remember is having written this, we sent it to Julie Andrews, who I think was on Broadway at the time.
Victoria. I thought she wanted to do it, but her voice went out. I don't know.
I think she said, you suck. Tough luck. I hope you get hit by a truck.
Yeah, I want to point out early, by the way, that Chuck Sheets, a director, looks a lot like the kid that played the boy in Mary Poppins. I want you to take a look at him right now and see that resemblance.
Not so much anymore, but I used to.
Even now.
Oh, you're not gonna like our NYPD shoe sketch. It's pretty much the same thing.
Ma, could you get me some milk?
Can't you get it yourself?
What I should say, too, our second choice for the part is Maggie Roswell, who did a number of voices through the history of the show, and who I think has a terrific singing voice. And, you know, if you can't get Julie Andrews, believe me, she was the next best thing.
And most people think it is Julie Andrews, who don't read credits.
Yeah.
Does a great job. And, of course, you know, Dan is such a great singer, and he does a terrific job in all the songs that he does, both Homer and Barney.
Yeah, I think this show had the most amount of music in it, chronologically in the series. And it was, when I read the script without the music, I was like trying to think of like what Mary Poppins song goes with. And it was all very clear. I was very, you know, looking forward to hearing it, actually.
Well, one thing about it, too, is when we wrote it, we said, oh, the songs will stretch, you know, it'll, you know, make the show longer. But songs don't stretch. You know, they have a certain rhythm to them. So the show is a little bit top-heavy. You know, when we got to Act 3, we kept trying to think of things to add to it, like the Itchy and Scratchy with Quentin Tarantino doing Reservoir Dogs. And I think it never did quite, you know, make the right air length. I think it was always a little bit, you know, a little bit short.
It is the most enormously padded show, I think, ever. I mean, it does have every gimmick we use to pad out a show. And, again, nobody complained. We've got about an act's worth of plot over three acts.
Well, I like this, too, by the way, because now it's Mary Poppins spoof, but we have this song from Hair, because
we didn't have enough songs.
Yeah. This song wasn't in.
The other people I want to give a lot of credit to. Why, here's Matt Groening.
Matt Groening.
Mr. Groening.
You guys scheduled this DVD commentary during my nap.
We're shooting this at 6 in the evening.
Matt keeps Reagan hours, basically.
Hello, everyone.
Hello.
Hey, Matt.
How are you doing?
I was just about to say, I just don't want to lose this thought. I wanted to give credit to our composer, Alf Clausen, and our music editor, Chris Ledesma. When we do songs for the show, what Mike and I did, or other writers, will write the lyrics. And then Alf takes these lyrics and composes a melody. Chris is the one who directs the singers, and you know, I think they do a fantastic job. I remember one review of the show mentioned this episode and said it was good enough to mount on Broadway.
I thought we should do it. Hey, Matt Groening's here. Why don't we ever do a Simpsons review, just of all the many good songs we've done from the show? I know you don't like to make money off the show, but...
What, you mean like a clip show?
No, a Broadway review, like Tomfoolery, that thing they did with Tom Lehrer.
We've talked about every possible way you could capitalize on this show we have tried. We've tried to figure out. Well, yeah, that's a good idea. I actually want to see the original cast... Dan and Julie and everybody. I want them to do "Death of a Salesman" by Arthur Miller in their character. Isn't that cool?
They
Homer as Willie Loman.
Oh, yeah, right. Someone suggested they do "Love Letters," the A.R. Gurney play too.
Which is wow, what a great idea!
They didn't, but wouldn't it have been nice?
And Nancy could be Biff and.
The South Show Come Again was one of my favorite lines.
This is a Mrs. Doubtfire parody, if it's not quite clear at this date. And that's Maggie doing that voice as well.
I like this is sort of Dan ad-libbing, too.
Fakey phony.
That's something we do a lot, too, where we have somebody go an impossibly long distance in a short period where Homer's already running out.
This whole Marge losing her hair... kind of B story was taken from sort of the first script Al and I ever wrote together. It was a Spec Golden Girl script, and that was part of the plot, was Rue McClanahan was losing her hair, and we researched female pattern baldness and that kind of thing, so we never throw anything away.
In fact, the other half of that spec script, which involved the Arthur character getting hit by Mother Teresa in a car accident, we used years later when Homer and the family went to England.
You just passed by one of the classic moments in the history of the show.
Well, I like how long it went, too.
But our spec Golden Girl.
Well, that was an attempt to satirize those ancient Disney cartoons like Steamboat Willie, where... just the animation style was so different, it was really funny.
Did you have a specific model you were using? Is it?
No, the design guys came up with something that looked, you know, close to that era without,
it's
you know...
It's pretty much Steamboat Willie characters.
That's what I mean. The music certainly is.
We tried to do the same sort of, like, rubber hose animation.
And, of course, we followed Mary Poppins in terms of staging this for the kids reading the letter. Like, nodding at looking at each other and looking back at Mom and Dad.
I can tell you, at the time when we were doing this, I was very nervous about this working.
Everybody hated the idea but me.
You know what? It's funny. I've been thinking about this endlessly, and I still don't know how we get away with this. And this is what I'm. This is why I objected to the show. Was it's The Simpsons and magic. It's like we would never do a show where Homer found a genie in a bottle, or you know, Lisa made friends with a ghost.
Al's got to tell you about an upcoming episode.
Season 23, dude.
That was it. That was my big fight. And it was, stylistically, I hold by it. But, again, I was just dead wrong. And, in fact, I'll say it now. This is, I even hurt the episode more because Sherry Bobbins doesn't do anything magical in the show. She flies in. She slides up a banister. She flies out. But that's it. The rest of it, she just sits around because I just wouldn't let her do any magic. And in hindsight, I hobbled the show.
Magic, Mike, please. Just a little bit of...
You'll see. It's in an upcoming number. She just hangs around. She doesn't do anything.
Well, since I walked in late, I don't know. Did you rave about Maggie Roswell's great performance?
Yep, we did. Okay. Yes, indeed.
Well, let me add to the raves.
Absolutely. No, I'm practically
perfect in every way. Well, I think one reason it might work is... The thing I always related to about that movie was, you know, how hard it is to raise kids and how everybody wishes they had some help. And how, you know, the dad, you know, in the movie, I think he's kind of bumbling. And then Dick Van Dyke gives this really, you know, sweet speech about how, you know, he's working hard and, you know, he means his best. And I think that, you know, when that transposed to The Simpsons, I think it gave it a reality look. I mean, I don't know. Plus the songs are really catchy. But...
Now, we want to mention at some point is that Eric Stefani was a layout artist in this, of course, of No Doubt, and
he started with the show back in 89, and we had him do most of the musical numbers.
Yeah, right? For doing the, because he's, you know, a great musician who just also happens to be a great artist as well for drawing, so he handled certainly the Cut Every Corner song, which is coming up shortly. We worked very closely on that, but he like really had just a great way of getting the musical, the people actually looked like they were singing and dancing, and it was really, you know, he did a great job with it.
I had no idea. That's amazing.
Yeah, it was at that time. He had, I mean, he'd left the band, but he still had written, and you know, written most of their songs, and I think that's when Tragic Kingdom came out that year.
Yeah, it was out, and but it had not quite exploded and gotten really big at that point. So, but yeah, if you look here, just his pose is the little bit with her pointing with the finger, you know, pointing at them. It's very, very good acting.
Well, you're ruining an urban legend because people have come up to me and asked if Gwen Stefani is my sister, so which I've confirmed.
Well, that too, yes.
So again, here you go. You see, no magic, nothing. It's such a great, great number in Mary Poppins. Would have been good here, but
no magic. Just a wag her fingers.
Needs some time to rest his feet.
Fighting crime is not my cup of tea.
And the clerk who runs the store can charge a little more for meat.
For meat.
I think in the movie, there's a scene where she sings to herself in the mirror. Yes, that's exactly satirizing.
Well, also, too, Hank has a very good singing voice as well. We're very fortunate
actually
on the show.
Is in a show on Broadway as we speak.
Exactly.
Spamalot.
Yeah.
A motif which we've sort of lost, by the way, over the course of the years, though, was there's a reference to the heat lamp dog. One of my favorite phrases of all time.
So Al and I, too, I have to say, we did this show with a skeleton staff. I mean, this was done as sort of a freelance assignment, and our staff was who? It was Reed Harrison.
And David Stern, I think.
David Stern.
Oh, really? Just those two.
Yeah, this and the Springfield Files.
So Eric did this, too, I believe.
Yes, yes, he did.
Yeah.
God, I like that guy a lot of music, too. We
don't, on the bench. I like the guy, but you can't see him now, but the guy sitting on the park bench is good. Oh, it's gone.
we'll bring him back.
Teddy Bobbins, is that you?
Hello, Willie.
You'd know her?
Hey, Teddy Bobbins and I were engaged to be wed back in the old country. Then she.
What people sometimes forget, too, is Mary Poppins does have animation in an extremely long... I can tell this kind of side story. When I was a kid, we went to see it three times with my mom and my grandmother got sick of it each time, and so we'd always leave in the middle. So I never saw how it ended until I was an adult. As a kid, I thought movies always ended in mid-plot, that you didn't know how they wound up.
I like we've thrown an Oliver parody in the middle of our Mary Poppins parody.
It's close enough.
Everyone English. We'll do Master and Commander in here, too.
Oh, if only we could.
Oh, Mr. Burns, I think you'll find all life's problems just float away when you're flying a kite.
Balderdash, this is the silliest load of poo. Look at it fly.
It's funny, I haven't seen this show since it aired, so I'm wondering what's going to happen.
Yeah.
Although I think I can see this coming.
The clouds drifting in, and I wonder what's going to happen.
I think your heart's beating again.
Ooh, that takes me back. God bless you, Sherry Bobbins.
Now, in between there, that was the sequence we love to smoke was originally that.
And by the way, there's a little bit of it that is going to be on the DVD.
Oh great.
A little fragment. What happened was in a satire of the I Love to Laugh song, the kids go to visit Patty and Thelma, who sing about how much they love to smoke. And I believe that the full song is on one of the Simpson CDs.
Yes, yeah. Yes.
And they don't have the full animation, but there is a little bit of it that we wound up cutting from the show.
Now, did we cut it? I mean, generally we cut it because it didn't get any laughs. Was that it? Or
that was it. It didn't get laughs at the screening. Yeah. So
an extra for you.
I mean, well,
we're putting something very unfunny into this.
It's hard to hear a duet between Patty and Selma, too.
But, you know, sometimes we're wrong because that's how we resurrected the robotic Richard Simmons.
That's true.
A laugh, and so they cut it. And then I was showing it at lectures and got a laugh, so we put it in the 138th episode.
I do remember there was the psych guy where, Patty or Selma had, like, the Guinness Book of World Records, like, mouthful of cigarettes parody, which I thought was very good.
This I remember for what it's worth. It was the biggest laugh at the read was when he was said, I'm freezing my ass. I think it was Mike's line. And it is just, Dan has a really beautiful voice.
Oh, yeah.
He has a very good tenor voice when he sings like this.
I'll drink terpentine.
So as people know, you know, if we watch these, the snow is a different level from the other animation. And, you know, it's, you know, shot in front of the rest of it.
This is one of
the
songs.
And as the camera moves, the snow does not.
That's the other magical moment in this. It's a magic snow.
That's a parody of the lousy special effects in Mary Poppins.
Yeah, but just,
boy, they stink.
Can I be a blues hound?
Not till you're 50.
Yeah, I always think it's touching exit.
Yeah, it's beautiful touching exit.
He doesn't want to be a drunk until he's 15. That's really good parroting.
I think that was a censor note, too.
Oh,
It was originally 13, right?
No, that was it. Can't he be a booze hound when he's 18?
Well, here's our problem writing it, too. It's like, well, the story's over.
Yeah. I knew I had legitimate complaints.
So it was a scramble to come up with Act 3.
The Simpsons have to get extra horrible to kind of make the story work.
And we're done.
Voices again.
It's not over.
Hey, there's more to come. How about that?
What does Lisa do then?
Lisa's in terrible trouble.
Because they're worse than ever before.
Jeez.
I'll just unpack my things.
I think we got our umbrella switch! Whee! I never felt so alive!
That's the line I think we added at the color because you can see his mouth isn't moving and his is going up.
Well, it worked out, didn't it?
Yes.
That happened a fair amount. I mean, now actually we often reshoot the animation, but, you know, if it was just a moment where we had a hole, we'd put in some audio. And it isn't as visible on smaller screens.
We all know Rainer Wolfcastle is the star of the blockbuster McBain movies, but here's his first appearance in a commercial in his native Austria.
Another song parody.
I really did like this one, too.
Yeah, it's very nice.
It's amazing he went on to be governor of California.
Maybe this help?
Jerry Bobbins, I want another beer.
Well, you know, Homer, if there's a job that must be done, you'll find it's much more fun.
You'll find it's even more fun if you get it for me.
But the beer will taste more sweet if you get up off your seat.
Ladies and gentlemen. To be fair, though, most Broadway musicals kind of peter out in the second.
It's true. It's like we had a great
idea. Oh, my God, the show is still on.
This is, you know, Hank has always done this Bronson voice that we call a wise guy on the show. And then we say, hey, why don't we just actually, you know, have him be Charles Bronson once.
Another piece of music.
Another piece of music.
Bart Simpson, this room is a frightful mess.
I'll get right on it.
Bart, don't you remember? Cleaning up can be a game.
I got a better
game. Is this Mary Poppins' outfit, or did you change it? Is it,
It's pretty...
Yeah, very close to what she has in the... When she's in the house cleaning up.
Special guest director.
Another person we offered a part in this episode, too, was Quentin Tarantino, who didn't want to say what we have him saying.
But he used to wear a bootleg Itchy and Scratchy shirt.
Yeah.
All the time.
Well, you know, but we insult him here. I mean, that's why he didn't do it.
No, this is an insult?
This cartoon is that violence is everywhere in our society. You know, it's like...
That's Dan, obviously, imitating.
Have you heard subsequently him saying, oh, they never offered it to me or something like that? Because he does, as Matt says, he wears the Itchy and Scratchy t-shirt.
I'm sure they did, because, I mean, oh, well, I shouldn't say, I'm sure that we offered it to someone representing him. You never know... And our casting director, Bonnie Piddle, is great about, you know, going as far as we can. Sometimes maybe it doesn't get to the person, but I bet it did.
It's the only thing I've ever heard of him turning down.
I'll tell you, though, we've had guest actors who turn us down and literally, like, a week later have somebody from them call saying, oh, so-and-so really wants to do your show and would like to be on sometime.
I'll give you an example. I'm a big fan of Hugh Jackman, speaking of Broadway, who we pursued and pursued for this part. And then, like, the week we had someone else do it, we got a call from his agent. But I don't know what happens. It's very, very puzzling.
But you can't change this family. Neither can I. From now on, I'm just going to sit back.
Upcoming, there's a joke that, you know, is a lot of people's favorite. And I don't know whose idea it was. It was when we originally pitched the story, we did it at a retreat. And then the notes from the retreat, they had Cherry Bobbins going into the jet and getting shredded.
No, it was from the critic. We wrote that joke for the critic.
Oh, really?
It was storyboarded, and I don't know, did we get canceled, or
I
didn't have time to do it?
It was like for Jay, when at the beginning of the show, you'd have the little clip, and Jay would say, it stinks, you know, and that's...
Okay, yeah, because we heard it came out really great, and then we had no series to put it in, so again, Al and I never throw anything away. There's something really funny coming up here. Oh, that's it. Homer's not singing. We forgot to record him.
Yeah.
So he just stands there dumbly while everyone else sings.
Well, the show must go on.
I always liked that move, by the way. You zip over and then you wind out this way. It was a great cheat.
This is, it's a big, big joke. Whenever I make an appearance, I always show this clip, even if it's just an appearance at my parents' home. This is a big laugh scene.
Yeah.
Mary Poppins get murdered.
This line was yours. So long, Superman.
Yeah.
That's great, too.
I'm sure we will, honey.
The critic might still be on the air if we'd gotten that done in time.
Oh, Matt, they want you to announce yourself.
Yeah, I know. I heard that. This is Matt, the guy that walked in late.
Maybe I could announce you a little better. Presenting Mr. Matt Groening.
Well, someone got a little jaded after 200 commentaries.
How many of these I've done? I've been in a lot of these things. I just hang out here, except for when I go home and take naps. Hey, can I complain about something? You at home, you better be watching this in the right aspect ratio. I don't want to see this thing being stretched, okay? It's 4:3 aspect ratio. This is not a widescreen show. So I know you think you're getting your money's worth from your widescreen TV, but forget it. Watch it in the right aspect ratio. Thank you.
We woke him up for this.
Hey, you.